God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
You can build a. It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, and welcome, fellow travelers in space. Whether that be outer or inner space, will make no never mind to me. Given that I have the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie-woogie too. So, I'm good to go in either direction. This evening, we are hovering in the mists of time. You tend to see and encounter the mists of time when you have managed to step back far enough from it, so that you are no longer walking in the fog of time. You're in as clear a space. Well, you're in a clear space, but you can see the mist at a distance from you. It's similar to the way that the slopes of a mountain might look in the early morning of a given day, when you can see the draping mist climbing up and down the mountain, due to the proper conditions, weather-wise, and humidity being present, I think. I'm not a weatherman. There's a lot to be said for not being in the fog and having enough objective perspective to see the mist. Most of the population of this planet at this time is in the fog. This is why they don't seem to be paying a particular kind of attention when you observe them going about their business on the day-to-day, whatever that may be. This is why you can't communicate ideas to certain people. Not because they are not true or don't make sense, or because you're simply no good at it, but because, were they to agree to what you tell them, they would become responsible for that knowledge. They do not want to be responsible for that knowledge. This is the explanation for so many things, for how such a large percentage of the population can be duped by obvious lies. It explains why populations go along with terrible evils performed by their governments, and manage to philosophize it all away, never actually recognizing how truly terrible these things are. For so long as you are in the fog, you cannot see where you are going no matter what direction you are headed in. When you have become detached from the fog, you can see where you are headed, except when you are headed into the mist. And the mist exists to conceal you from the eyes of others as you sally forth into new dimensions and worlds unguessed at that are to be found in the mist. The mist is a big feature in Asian and Oriental art. I suppose they are both the same, but on the politically correct side of the spectrum, they don't like you to use one of those words, Oriental, I think, instead of the other, Asian. Not that I care. That alone would be an irresistible motivation for me to use it. I guess I have to watch myself with this sort of thing, because I despise political correctness more than just about anything I can think of, because that is what gave you the Khmer Rouge. That is what gave you Red China in the 60s. It's an ugly, ugly thing, and it is now taking over in the social spectrum all over America. I have to apologize a little bit this evening, because this is one of those radio shows where I have been unable to make any notes. And so I'll explain why I wasn't able to make any notes, and maybe that'll take up the time for where the radio show ordinarily would have been. Yes. Well, anyway, I was all prepared to do all of this, but there's this fellow, his name is Jans, who lives in the neighborhood, and he drops by to see me, you know, every couple of years or so. Used to live in this town, but now he lives high up on the mountain, some distance from here, and he always wants to hang out with me for what reason, I don't know. And he has a friend, Andy, who teaches him the drums, and Andy is a phenomenal drummer, as I learned this evening. He's a phenomenal drummer, a jazz drummer, and Jans studies with him, and Jans always wants me to get together with them. Now I realize that was the cosmos telling me long ago over the last few years that here are guys I could make music with. I could have put a band together and could have gone out and done things with these people, but I just never did. I have lived here as a hermit unto myself and pretty much only just interacting with people like you at vast distances. And anyway, he called last night to reaffirm a foolish commitment, I thought, in my mind, to meet with him this weekend, and I was napping at the time, and Suzanne came up and tried to hand me the phone. I said, no, I'm sleeping, I don't want to talk. But then again, he called again this morning, and I went, okay, I will get together with you. So he came down, and he picked me up, and Andy was in the car, and they took me way up to the top of this mountain where they were, and a whole lot of drums got played, and a whole lot of conversation went down, and this fellow Jans, he's a great big guy. He's at least as tall as I am and twice as wide, but terribly insecure. And has a terrible problem meeting women. He's a very handsome guy, so it makes it like hard to understand. But I guess a lot of guys are kind of like that. And so I started explaining to him how life works, which I hadn't taken the trouble to do with him before. And I started showing him how to meditate and how to, because he was very nervous. He was jumping all over the place. And I got him a little calmed down, and I started explaining to him how he could do this, he could do that, he could do this, and this would change what he was going through. And then that led to the martial arts a little bit, so I started showing him and Andy certain things that you could do if you were confronted by this or that, and all the while trying to stress that conflict is not the answer, which of course we know. And then, you know, I just went up and up and up, energy-wise, and I started singing for a while, and it got very jovial, I must say. And everybody was then suddenly starting to feel really, really good. It was like some sense of brotherhood had entered the room, and there was just all this really good feeling. And we kind of wrapped it up. I wanted to leave, but then they didn't want me to leave, so I stayed an hour or two past what time I had planned to stay, because I planned to come back and like kind of get the radio show together, but I didn't feel like I should actually have left them, so because they were having such a good time, and he wanted me to hear this Jimmy Cliff music and some other things. He had these great DVDs, and it was quite enjoyable. And then we got outside, and I got outside with Andy, and he was still inside. And Andy says to me, "You know what you remind me of?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "There's this guy, Gurdjieff. You know, he's a Russian. He wrote this book." I said, "No, I haven't heard of him." He says, "Book is called Meetings with Remarkable Men." I went, "Oh, you mean Gurdjieff? Of course." I said, "I read that book." I said, "That was one of my favorite books, actually, back when I read it when I was 21 or 22 or so." And he said, "You remind me of that." And that was one of the nicest compliments I've gotten in a long time. And so, as you can see, I probably spent my time well with those guys, at least in terms of self-promotion and nothing else. And I want to talk a little bit about where I'm moving to, too. I have to move out of my situation here. Just because it's time, not because anybody dislikes anyone else or anything. It's just time for me to move on to something else and start lecturing, start moving around to the big cities here in Europe, where I'm in a position now to be given the opportunity to go around and speak and do different things, and I should. And out of the blue, one of my readers, this lovely lady, Katrin, she said, "I have a place where you can go." And she had met a guy on the internet, Joachim, and he had this place, and he wants to put together a spiritual community. And for one reason or another, however it worked, I wound up going there sometime in the last week or so. I forget exactly when now, how it goes. But anyway, I went out there. He has three lovely daughters, I guess 9, 10, and 11, or something like that. And they have beautiful singing voices, I might add, too. And this guy is amazing. He's got this beautiful spread with three really big, they look like large barns, but they've been turned into homes or work areas. And he wants to give me this top floor of one of these places. It's a very large space, and it's free. And he's going to help me put it together. He's going to help me pay to put it together and everything. And I will have this space. And he owns like several hectares, or more than several, that surrounds the place where we can put in that new permaculture forest gardening thing they're doing in the UK, and a number of other things that I've had ideas for quite some time. And it just really seems like the right thing. But the interesting thing was, I went to this place, and I live in another part of this country that's very pristine, very clean, but where I went to was far cleaner yet. This is where this country spent all of its money the last 10 or 15 years. So everything's like brand spanking new over there. It was amazing. And all the trees are healthy. I couldn't believe it. I mean, look at the birch and the pine trees that I see sometimes in the forest here. And you can see where the acid rain has affected them. And certainly when you're in mainland America or something, you really notice the attrition that's happening in the forests. But here, everything was brand spanking new. It was like 50 years ago. I mean, the forests were just in incredible health, and the town's real quiet. You don't see hardly any cars or anything else. And all I could think was, and the guy was an IT guy, you know, he's totally computer conversant, so any problems I might have that way, hey, that's cool. And he and I had a similar kind of meeting along those lines. The energy interaction back and forth was purely amazing. And all that was like telling me was that, you know, if you really work on your life, your whole life, even though you may make a lot of mistakes in your life as you're going along, and you can tend to get down on yourself, you know, and you can tend to like not trust yourself anymore. You can be filled with regret and recrimination about, oh, I did this, oh, I did that, oh, I failed myself. This, you know, if you just don't let that stuff get into your head and you never give up and you keep on striving and you keep meeting the challenge every day and you keep coming back at it more and more and you keep loving God, knowing that God loves you far more than you will ever love yourself, and staying strong and steady with all these things, eventually the tide turns in your life one way or another, and all kinds of remarkable things start to happen. You find even the most ordinary things in your life start to be filled with a certain kind of magic that's inexpressible within this English language or any language, really. It's something that's user-friendly to the individual experiencing it. But it's non-transferable often, but then again, sometimes it's quite transferable, depending on if the company is amenable to that and open to it. And I'm just starting to find that these things are true, and I am wanting to communicate to you not to give up on yourself. not ever to think badly of yourself. I mean, I've got reasons to think badly of myself, this, that, and the other thing, although I had good reasons at the time. But I realize now, you know, that it's regret and all the rest of these things like self-denigration and guilt and not liking yourself. That's what this whole system is set up for, to make us feel this way so we can be turned into slaves and so we can think less of ourselves, and as a result we'll settle for less, and as a result we'll allow ourselves to be put through all of this crap, which we don't need to be put through. We're much better than that. We really are. And if we don't give up, if we meet the challenge every day, if we remember to meditate, remember to love ourselves and love God and love other people. I mean, even if at first it seems difficult, and I mean with some people it surely is, you just keep at it. You just keep loving them anyway because, hey, you know, what other, you got other choices, but yeah, who wants those options? So anyway, it looks like I used up all that time. Hopefully this has not been an unsatisfactory radio broadcast this time, but this is how it came. Just me sitting here and talking and taking up your time, but luckily it's only 15 minutes. So anyway, I really wish all of you the best, and I want to thank you for supporting me through the years and for giving me all the good vibrations you get. Believe me, I feel them. And I want you to just be blessed, and I want the love of the Almighty God to shine in you and shine out of you and shine upon you and just pretty much shine, period, okay? And, you know, I'll see you next week, if there is one. And that said, Om Amitabha, Hare Krishna, La ilaha il alahu, carry on, Bahawala. Greetings, Lord Ganesh. And I probably left somebody out, but that's okay, I'll catch them next time. That said, aloha and aru. Wasn't my best aru, I must admit.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.